Father, we thank and praise your name, Lord, this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Can I get an amen? The Lord is good, and his mercies endureth forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do for us. Amen? Praise God. Father, we are in the house of the Lord again this morning. And as we share this word, we know, Lord Jesus, that the entrance of your word always brings light. And let that light shine our hearts this morning, and we return all the praise and glory to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Well, let's do that again. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to speak today on three seasons. I want you to listen to me. Three seasons. Well, you know, we know we have, some places have four seasons. I don't know if we have four seasons in Phoenix. But, you know, I think Phoenix is like hot and hotter. You know, but, you know, we do have, there are three seasons that I want to talk about today. And these three seasons are called due seasons. Well, I'm going to have to tell you each one of those due seasons because they sound similar but are spelled differently. You know, so here we go. The first of the due seasons is spelled D-O, which is due. Everybody know what that means, due? An action where we actually try to accomplish something? Are you still with me? Okay. The second of the due seasons is spelled D-E-W, which is like a mist that falls from heaven. And the third of the due seasons is spelled D-U-E, which is, you know, when the right time has come. The due season. Are you still with me? So I'm going to be talking about those three seasons this morning. And I want you to pay attention because God's going to bless your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me also start. Let me start right here, you know, in this chapter of Ecclesiastes, famous chapter, chapter 3. That's where I will start this morning. And in this chapter, we find that life in particular, you know, is full of various aspects. There's ups, there's downs, you know. One time I preached this subject of mountains and valleys. It was in one of the faith labs on a Friday night. You got to check that out on the website. But there, you know, there's various things that happen in life. You know, there's ups, there's downs, there's a time for this and a time for that, and so forth. You know, so this chapter of Ecclesiastes will give you some wisdom about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything, there is a season. So that's the word this morning, a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent and a time to sow, and a time to keep silence and a time to speak, time for love, time for war, time for peace and all of these things, you know, and so forth. And I also want to say, let me add my own in here, a time to sow, S-O-W, as opposed to S-E-W. And also a time to reap. Amen? Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about money at all this morning, so don't worry about that. You know, praise the name of the Lord. Because every time you talk about sow and reap, some people are thinking about money. There's a lot more than that about that money. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so we see, and on it goes on, you know, and so I just read that text as a background to this. We see there's a time for everything. There's a season, you know, and I want to talk about three particular seasons here this morning. There are three seasons that we find. Well, the first season, which is D-O, which is two, you know, I want to read to you here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, you know, if you're looking at the situation or the challenges around, you won't do anything. Hello? That's right. You say, well, it's cloudy today and so forth. You know, so I'm not going to do anything. You know, it's about to rain and so forth. I remember the last 2 days, you know, every time I wanted to go out for a walk in the morning, because I do that every morning, walk about 3 miles, walking and talking and praising God, you know. Every time I wanted to go out, it always was threatening to rain. And I would say, well, you know, it can rain, but only after I'm finished. Amen? And it was always like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if I would have been looking at, oh my goodness, it's going to rain, then I would have not stepped out to do what I needed to do. Rain is doing its thing, and I'm doing my thing. Amen? Praise God. You know, so, you know, rain don't bother me at all. You know, if I want to do something, I'm going to do what I want to do. Praise you in the name of Jesus. But one time Jesus got in the boat. You know, you've heard this over and over again. And the storm came up against them and his disciples. The storm didn't bother him at all. Because he just went to sleep. Because he already said, we're going to the other side. So he, you know, got in the boat. You know, of course, the Lord already knew the storm was coming. Amen? Amen, people? If you don't know that Jesus knew that that storm was coming, you don't know too much about the Lord. You know, he knew that that storm was coming. But he was fixing to teach disciples a lesson. You know, so anyway, you know, that didn't bother him at all. He still went, you know, proceeded on the thing that he wanted to do. Now, if you look at the clouds, then you are not going to sow. And if you don't sow, then you are not going to reap. You know, so if you observe the winds, you won't do anything. And if you look over here and say, well, you know, and so forth, if you look at the wind, you won't sow. If you look at the clouds, you are not going to reap. The two season, which is G-O, is a part that you must play. Amen? Every purpose of God is established by his counsel. But there is a part that you must play. Even in salvation, you must play a part. The Bible says that the foundation or the seal of God, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. God knows them that are his, and let those that know the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So it's always a two-part covenant. You know, there is a part of God. And there is your part. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That is the promise that he threw out. But you must do something about it. Hello, somebody. You must get up and come to Jesus. That is the part that you must do. So there is a part that you must do something. It's the same thing. Look, you know, most of you here are working or going to school or something. Whatever it is, you must be doing something. Jesus said, occupy until I come. So you must be doing something. So you go to work every day for 2 weeks. You know, you must do your part and then you get paid. Amen? If you want to get paid, then you better be on that job. You know, the same thing if you are a student. You know, you must do your part. You must study conscientiously. You must do your assignments. You must turn things in at the right time. You must do all of these things. That's your part to do. Amen? You cannot be a student. Don't do any of these things you're supposed to do. And then when the exam comes, then you pray and think that that prayer is going nowhere. You must do your part. Praise you in the name of the Lord. If I went, God, you know, wanted to set the children of Israel free from Egypt, they had to do something. Even though God had decided that he was going to set them free, yet they had to do something. They had to prepare their hearts. They had to gather some stuff. They had to even go borrow some stuff from their friends. And they had to gather their families. They had to set out on the trip. And they had to follow the man of God. Hallelujah. They had to do something. You know, if you don't do anything, you're likely not to get anything. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In fact, you know, Jesus said, you know, in John chapter 15, he said, look, I am the vine and you are the branches. You know, every branch in me that is doing something, that is bringing forth fruit, my Father who is the husbandman is going to trim it so that he can do more. Amen? Bring forth more. But every branch that is doing nothing or producing no fruit is cut, I mean, it's withered away and cut down and so forth and then cast in the fire. So, you know, we must do. Jesus said, even as a young man, at the age of 12 and so forth like that, he said, I must do my Father's business. I must speak about my Father's business. Amen? Praise God. Now, this doing covers every aspect of our lives. In fact, from the beginning, when God put Adam and Eve right there in the Garden of Eden, he told them what to do and what not to do, of course. You know, but, you know, Adam was also given a job, you know, to do some things. God brought all the animals to him to name the animals. God put him in charge of the Garden of Eden to, you know, to tend the garden. You know, that's something. God didn't just put him there and let him just sit around all day long and do nothing. You know, there's always a part for us to do. Hallelujah. So that's the do. There's a lot more about that, but maybe I'll say some more as the message goes on and we'll see. So let me leave that there so that we will just see what, you know, move ahead. But before I go move ahead, I want to read also one scripture in Proverbs chapter 16. And this is verse 33. Now, remember, we're talking about doing. You must do something. But I don't want you to think that it's going to be all by your own doing. Hello, somebody. Because, that, you know, this message is going to explain it to you. There is a part that you must play. But in this chapter of Proverbs, we'll tell you that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, some of you may not know what the lot is, but it's kind of like taking some dice. You know, take the dice, shake it up in your hand, and cast it. You know, well, you can throw that dice, and you have to throw that dice. Hello, somebody. You have to throw that dice. But how that dice turns out, that's determined by the Lord. Hello, people. You know, the people, you know, in the olden days, that's how they, you know, some of them, of course, they didn't have the Spirit of God, many of them. So when they wanted to, you know, figure out, oh, you know, I hope none of you are doing that today. Well, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? They cast a lot into their laps and so forth. You know, we have the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Amen, people. So they'll cast lots and so forth. But even the Bible says, look, even though they cast the lot, you know, into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof, how it turns out, is from the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. But you must cast the lot. And then let the chips fall wherever they may, if I may say that. You know, so you must do that. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, so that is the doing part that we must do. But in the back of our minds, we also know that, you know, there is a part that God will play, even in the doing. Well, let me also talk to you about the other season. So there is a season first that you must do something. That's what we just talked about. Now, but there is a season of do, which is D-E-W. Alright? The D-E-W is like the do of heaven. Hello, people. In Genesis 27 and verse 28, you know, let me read this to you real quick and talk about the do of heaven. Genesis 27. And verse 28. Now, of course, you know, this is an interesting story. You're going to have to read the whole chapter. But, you know, I don't have time to read the whole chapter. You know, this business of Rebecca deceiving Isaac, you know, and so on. You know, and then Jacob getting the blessing that Esau should have gotten and all that. So, but anyway, listen to this. Verse 28 of Genesis 27. Therefore, God, give thee the dew of heaven. Can I get amen on that? Now, that's a good prayer. You know, and I stood and I in the prayer and in the word of the Lord before this service, and I prayed that the Lord should give unto you the dew of heaven. Amen. Especially those of you that will do your part. I pray and I say, Lord, give them the dew of heaven. So the Lord give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, you know, and plenty of corn and wine. So basically, the dew of heaven is the favor of God. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, so, you know, that is the favor of God. There's a season. There's a set time that the Bible says it is time to favor the people of God. Hallelujah. Now, let me remind you that, you know, this business of what you do and what God does and so forth, you know, look, anything you do, you've got to have faith for it to get results. You know, as a matter of fact, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, so you've got to have faith to get results. But let me put it to you like this. You know, even when you have faith to get results, you know, you've got to recognize that the Lord is supreme. Amen? Amen? Amen. He's the chief commander, commander-in-chief, whatever you want to call it. Now, look at it this way. A farmer that plants, you know, for, you know, whatever, you know, they have their seasons. They plant and then they get the, you know, they go through these seasons and they have to till the land and, you know, do all of the work and so forth. And then sometime down the road, they're going to get harvest. You know, sometimes they get good harvest, sometimes they don't get very good harvest. But they have to do the planting, they have to do the tilling, they have to, you know, get rid of the weed and do all of these things that they have to do. You know, but, you know, even while they're doing that, you know, God is still the ruler of things. Because God can produce a bountiful harvest by making sure they have just the right amount of rain. Or otherwise, you know, if the rain is too much, it might destroy their you know, they have floods. You know, and we've seen that all over the country, too much flood in 1 year, not enough in rain in next year, and destroy their crops. You know, so even though they are doing and doing all of these things, you know, planting and cultivating and doing all that, you know, yet the Lord must give the increase. Amen. Praise God. One man plants, another, you know, waters, but Jesus keeps the increase. You know, so God is the one that always gives the increase. So we want to know that. But there is, you know, so the aspect of the dew of heaven comes from the fact that God gives favor upon your life. Amen. And there is a time that God has appointed. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There is a time that he, and you know, a few months ago and so forth, you know, I think back in January and so forth, and the Lord showed me this, you know, the time. You know, it was kind of like a time curve for the people of God. That's when we preached the anointing of increase, you know, and then, you know, that was just coming in like that and so forth. You know, there is a time, you know, for God to bring favor into your life. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let me read this to you in Psalm 102, verse 12. But thou, O Lord, hallelujah, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise, and thou shalt have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Can I get amen on that? There is a due season where God will bring the favor of God into your life. You know, but you must patiently wait for his salvation. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody? You must patiently wait for his salvation. Let me also even tell you this, you know, that the, and this will bring me to the next due season, which is D-U-E season, you know, due season. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, you know, that if we faint not in due season, we shall reap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. And let us not be weary in well doing. So you must be doing. For in due season. So actually, in this two, one short verse, there are two of these due seasons. You know, you must be doing, and then if you don't faint, you know, you will reap in due season. Amen? And the favor of God will come, you know, and so on. But let me tell you something also about planting. No man plants. Even Jesus gave this parable. And I love the parables of Jesus. Jesus gave the parable, said, look, the kingdom of God is like, you know, as if man should cast a seed in the ground and should go to bed and come up and wake up and next day the seed, you know, grows by itself and he doesn't know how it does. You know, let me tell you this. Nobody in their right mind, at least, will plant the seed, you know, and then 2 days later, they go dig it up just to see if it is growing. Hello, somebody. When you plant the seed, you water it, you know, you do some things and so forth, but you don't dig it up to see if it's growing. Amen? It is going to grow by itself. Hallelujah. Because the life of the fruit is in the seed thereof. So it's going to grow, so you plant it. All you have to do is till the ground, you know, and so forth, and, you know, water it a little bit. And also, there are some things you have to do to that planting, you know. Amen? I want you to know that when you plant something, and you water it and you have rain and all of these wonderful things, the same rain that makes the good seed to flourish also makes the weed to flourish. Hello, somebody. When you plant in your garden and there, you know, there's rain and everything like that, you know, the rain that is blessing the good seed is also causing the weed to flourish. Are you still with me? You know, you cannot divide the rain and say, well, rain, when you rain, you fall only on the good seed and don't even go near the wheat, because I don't want the wheat to grow. You can't do that. The rain is going to fall on all the seed, but it is your responsibility to go back in there and prune and weed out the wheat. Amen. You've got to weed out the wheat. Hallelujah. And leave the real seed alone. You know, so, now, when you have done the part that you should be doing, and when you believe God for the favor of God in your life to, you know, be the due season, then you must patiently wait. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. You must patiently wait for the due season, D-U-E, where you shall reap. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, those are the three seasons. But along with these three seasons, I want to bring out some things for us to understand here today. And it's like the message that I preached on months ago, about a year ago actually, on mountains and valleys in the Faith Lab. It wasn't on the Sunday service. But I want to talk about, you know, some things that happen, you know, in our lives. Because, you know, while we are doing things, some people get discouraged. And when they get discouraged, they stop doing. Because they say, well, gee, you know, I've been doing. It's kind of like this man, you know, every year. He was 38. I mean, for 38 years, he's been in that condition. And every year when the angel went to stir up the pool, you know, he came. But somebody got in ahead of him because he was crippled. How many of you know the story? You know, but he never got in there, never got a chance, you know, because there was only one person. The first person that got in after the stirring of the water got healed or whatever disease they had. But this man, he tried, but he couldn't get in there fast enough because he was crippled. But he kept coming. Hallelujah. He kept coming. You know, he kept doing. Which means he'd get up out of his house and he would do something. And you know, Jesus always wanted people to do something. You know, do something. Look, even one time they came to Jesus, they said, why, you know, taxes and so, how come you don't pay taxes? How come this and that? And Jesus said, look, you know, who pays taxes? You know, the children or the strangers? Well, they didn't figure out what he was saying. He said, okay, no, never mind about that. So he told Peter, I said, look, you know, let these people say this and that. You pay tax for you and for me. You know, but I want you to notice in the story what Jesus told Peter to do. I mean, Jesus is the Lord. Hello, somebody. He could have just said, Peter, snap his finger and give him a silver coin, just like that. But he didn't do it. He sent Peter to go down to the lake and catch a fish. You know. So Peter had to do something. Hello, somebody. And the whole time, look, Peter didn't have his fishing gear with him. So first he had to go to his fishing gear or go to somebody that he can rent or whatever, I don't know, you know, and get that fishing gear and then go down to that river or wherever and then cast it in. And the whole time while he was doing that, he had opportunity to doubt the word of the Lord. Hello, somebody. Because the word of the Lord must be tried in your life. You know, so that whole opportunity, well, the first fish that comes out, when you put him up inside his mouth, you're going to find a silver coin. And you will pay for yourself and for me. The first fish, how do I know the silver coin? You know, so he had opportunity the whole time he was going down to get his gear and so forth. So the word of the Lord is being tried inside of him. Are you still with me? So that's one of the reasons God wants you to do something. You know, because he just doesn't want to just do everything so that you don't do nothing. You know, no. He wants you to do something. You know, and then the word of the Lord will be tried while you're doing that something. And sometimes God will be silent, you know, for a while. And I'm going to read to you some things here, you know, in a minute that I wrote, you know, several months ago, about a year or so ago. And then, you know, we'll see how God walks with you, you know, when you are doing something. You know, so we see that God wants you to do something. There are so many examples in the Bible. I don't want to take time, you know, to do all of these things. But look, so many examples, okay? Even one woman one time came, cried to, you know, the prophet Elisha and said, look, you know, hey, you know, the creditor has come to take my son. And, you know, my servant, your servant, you know, my husband was a man of God. And he's died now. We don't have money to pay. And our bill collectors are here and so forth, you know. And what should we do? And the man of God said, well, you got to do something. Amen? Amen, people? What do you have in the house? Remember, we preached this message a long time ago. What is in your hand? You know, what do you have in your hand, in your house? You say, well, just, you know, feel this. And so. I said, fine. You know, go and borrow some vessels, not a few, and then come in and begin to pour the oil. Hallelujah! You got to do something. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, of course, God can do everything without you having to do anything, but he wants you to be partners with him. Amen. One time Jesus, he said, you know, God, he already knew what he was going to do. Thousands of people after he preached to them, says, they asked him, said, you know, send them away so that, you know, they can go eat before the stores close. And Jesus said, send them away before they get there, be closed. Give them to eat. you know, they said, give all these people to eat. Where are we going to have this kind of food? Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So, but he said to them, what do you have? What is it you have? And they said, well, you know, there's a little lad here that has his lunch or his spare dinner or whatever. You know, maybe he'll give it up. And Jesus said, well, that's enough. You know, so they brought it. You know, and Jesus said, look, very simple. What do you have? Do something with what you have. Amen. Amen, somebody. Do something with what you have. So they brought to Jesus the little, you know, boy's lunch and so forth. And Jesus said, that's good, you know. And he just took it, lifted up his eyes to heaven, blessed it, and gave it. Now, listen to these folks. Jesus gave that into the hands of the disciples. Amen? But he wanted the disciples to set the food before the people. In fact, he told people, set them down in 12s and so forth like that. Set them over there and so forth. And then, you know, we're going to feed them. And the whole time they're wondering, well, we're going to see what he's going to do today. You know, and so forth. Maybe he'll rain down manna from heaven. Jesus didn't need to do that. You know, wanted to show them, you know, that in God's hands, a little is a lot. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he turned around and put it in the hands of the disciples. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Look, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It is no big miracle to break a piece of bread into 12. I can do that. Can anybody break a piece of bread into 12? I can do that. You know, we do it here all the time when we break bread. We break it into small pieces. That's no big miracle. The real miracle happened in the hands of Peter, James, and John, and all of these people. Because they took the little bread that was in their hand, and they began to dish that bread out, and it continued to multiply in their hand. Not in the hand of Jesus. In their hand. Jesus already did his part. He already blessed it and gave it into their hands. And said, now you go do and put it in front of the people. Now if they wouldn't have done, and if they wouldn't have gone, the miracle would not have happened. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. When Moses came up to the Red Sea, and he cried to the Lord, Lord said, look, Why are you crying unto me? Go forward. Hallelujah. As long as you are standing here, the Red Sea will not open. You got to go. Then the sea will open. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. You got to do something. You know, so the disciples, they did something, and the miracles happening in their hands. Now, let me talk about some of the testings that people face because of, you know, various things that we're going through in life, and then it discourages people from doing something. Well, they say, well, you know, I have been doing, you know, and nothing has happened. So maybe I should stop believing. You know, there's all those voices. We know, of course, Abraham, you know, for 25 years, he had to keep believing the word and the promise. Amen? But I see that a lot of people, they get weary after a little time, and then they wonder about it. You know, let me tell you something, folks. There's always going to be good times and challenging times. We read that in Ecclesiastes 3 already. You know, he said, look, there's a time for this and it's time for that. But let me read this to you also, one of these, my favorite verses on this subject. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. It says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. This is Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. Because God has set the one over against the other. That means he has put them side by side. So the end that people should find nothing after him. He wants you to keep believing him. So that's why he allows both good times and both hard times. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Even from the beginning, God divided the light from the darkness. And he looked at the light and he saw that it was good. But he also kept the darkness in place. Praise ye the name of the Lord. God never disbanded the darkness altogether. He did not say, let the darkness be no more. He didn't say that. If he would have said it, there would have been no more darkness. But he said, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he even gave a name to the darkness. He called it night. And he called the light day. So he has a purpose for the darkness. Amen. Amen, people. But I've said this before and I love saying it. In Psalms 30 and verse 5. We are told that there is night and there is day. Of course, the generations of those nights and days started from the day that God divided the light from the darkness. And until this day. But there's coming a time when he removes darkness, there will not be day or night anymore. Hallelujah, somebody! Praise God. So, Psalms 30 and verse 5 will tell you that, look, no matter what you are going through, you may be going through some dark times right now, but there is coming joy in the morning. Hallelujah! So no matter how dark the night gets, the day must break at some point in time. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Every time I remember that, I'm always so glad. You know that, look, I don't care how long the night lasts. At some point in time, the day is going to break. Praise you in the name of the Lord. That is an ordinance that God has put in place for now. Praise you in the name of the Lord. That's right. He's put that in place, and that's the way it is. You know, so you're going to have these ups and downs. You're going to have these challenges. But I have noticed that people do not use wisdom. And I have tried to teach in this church, even especially after the anointing of increase, we came back and taught, you know, how God wants you to be able to sustain the increase in your life. You know? I want to tell you something about being up and down, mountains and valleys. I want to throw this in right here. Since that we're on the subject that there will be, you know, ups and downs, there will be mountains and valleys in your life and so forth, you know, well, what happens in the valleys and what happens in the mountains? Well, let me read this to you. We are tested, we are trained, and we are tried in the valley. Hello? But we celebrate on the mountaintop. Hallelujah, somebody. You are tested, you are tried, and you are trained in the valley. But you celebrate on the mountaintop. Listen to this also. These are some words of some gems of wisdom here this morning. You know, fear will keep you in the valley. And pride will make you fall from the mountaintop. How many of you are still with me? That's right. You know, fear will keep you in the valley. Because, you know, you're afraid. You can't do nothing. You know, that's why Jesus always tried to get rid of that fear. The first thing he would always say is, fear not. You know, because once that fear gets in there, you cannot do anything. You cannot accomplish anything. Praise God. The slothful man uses fear as his excuse. There is a lion in the street, he says. So I can't go out today. I will do nothing. Sit down on the couch, watch TV all day long, you know, and so forth. You know, a lion in the street. Come on, somebody. Praise God. But that's what he uses as his excuse. And he's not going to go. And his poverty shall come upon him suddenly as an armed man. You know, because, you know, he folds, a little folding of the arms, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little doing nothing. So shall your poverty come upon you. You know, that's what the Bible says. You know, so if you don't do something, don't get up and do something. You know, and then you may not get anything from the Lord. You know, now, even faith is action. Amen. You can't say, I believe and don't do anything. You know, then you don't believe. You know, that's what James tells us. You know, you got to do something if you believe. Show us your faith by your works. So, we are tried and tested and trained in the valley. But we celebrate on the mountaintops. Now, listen to some of the testings and so forth that happens in the valley. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 7, somewhere in there. You know, real quickly if I can find it here. 1 Peter chapter 1. You are called to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And that's that word again. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. For a season. Amen. It's like the night. You are in temptation, but the day is coming. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, the trial of your faith. We preached that message a few months ago, faith on trial. The trial of your faith. You know, all these things that you are going through, they are the trial of your faith. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, but if you faint in the day of adversity, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says, if you faint, remember we've already preached all these subjects from time to time. Why do we keep preaching this? Because the Lord showed me that, look, people are going through all kinds of things, you know, and we must keep bringing the word of God to help people navigate through all these issues that are going on in the world right now. Amen? You know, Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10 will tell you that this. Look, you know, if you faint in the day of adversity, then it is because your strength is little. You know, you have little strength. You know, that's why you faint. You know, just because you have a little adversity. Remember the message, rise above obstacles. Don't let anything keep you back. But let me tell you this right now. What is a roadblock? You know, because some of you may not have heard that message. What is a roadblock? If I'm going somewhere and the road is blocked, does that mean it's the end of the road? It just means that road is blocked. Hello? That road. Not every road. That road is blocked. So I got to look for another way. Praise ye the name of the Lord. But some people, they get discouraged when there is a roadblock. You know, meet a little problem on the job, problem on their schoolwork, problem on something, and then they give up. You know, is that what the Lord wants you to do? You know, just because you have a little adversity and you faint, you know? No, 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 no. But let me tell you this. In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, the Bible says that if you cannot survive these little tests that you are going through right now, what are you going to do when some real calamity happens? You know? Amen? Jeremiah 12. If thou hast run with footmen and they have wearied you, what? How can you contend with horses? peace wherein you trusted, you know, you can't even make it. You're weary. What are you going to do in the overswelling of terror? What are you going to do when all cataclysmic upheavals happen? When things break loose? When all hell break loose? What are you going to do? If little problems, little challenge you face on the job, you quit. Little problem you face on your schoolwork, you quit. You know, what are you going to do when some real problem happens? Hello, people. There are seasons of everything. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There are seasons for everything. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, God will not allow you to be tested beyond your strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 will tell you that. You know, say, God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with every trial, every temptation, you know, he will give you a way of escape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. Come on, people. Are you with me? God is faithful. He will never let you be tested beyond your strength. But with every temptation, every trial, he's already provided a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. But you must look for the way of escape. Hallelujah. But if you are busy murmuring against God, you know, if you are busy clamoring against the Lord, why does God allow these things to happen? If God is a good God, why should this happen to me and so forth? If you are busy doing all of that, you will not hear the voice of the Spirit that is showing you the way of escape. You must settle down. You must calm down and listen for the voice. Yes. Hallelujah. Don't get all agitated and running out of the place as like chicken whose head is cut off. You know, don't do that. Amen. Yes. Settle down. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer living. I know whom I have believed. Yes. I know the Lord is with me. Yes. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Yes. I have set him always before me. Yes. You settle down in your mind. Hallelujah. But the only way you can do that, you must already be prayed up. Yes. You know, if you don't pray, and you're not prayed up, and it's in the day of crisis that you try to pray, you will be running helter-skelter. You will not know what to do. But if you're already been in his presence, hallelujah, somebody. Paul said, you know, when they were going to the shipwreck, he said, the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight. That there will be no loss of life. But you must stay in the ship. Get them dressed. You know, if anybody jumps ship, that's it. You're done. You're finished. You must stay in the ship. Jesus Christ is in the ship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Jesus Christ is in the ship. In fact, he's the captain of the ship. Hallelujah. You must stay in the ship. Don't jump ship just because you have some little crisis. Praise God. You know, so you're going to have these trials. You're going to have these crises. You know, you'll be tested when you're in the valley. And so forth. And you're going to have your nights and days. Let me tell you another thing which I wrote. I just remember it. I'm going to say it to you right now. You know, there are times when God is silent. But let me tell you this. Here's what you must do. You know, when you are in the dark, that goes right with being prayed up. When you are in the dark, that's the days where, you know, it looks like God is silent. Where is God? And so forth. You must remember what God told you in the light. Let me say that to you again. But there's always light and darkness. There will be times when you are having fellowship with God. You're prayed up. You're in the light. You know, and so forth. Of course, we should always be in the light. But you know, there'll be times when the enemy will come at you from every side. And it's kind of like you are in the dark. You know, Psalm 102 said, I feel like an owl in the desert. I feel like a pelican in the wilderness. My days are like a shadow that withereth. I'm like, nobody cares. Even Job, he cursed the day that he was born. You know. But in those times, you must remember what the word of the Lord said to you when you were in the light. Hallelujah. Never doubt what he said to you when you were in the light, now that you are in, just because you are in the dark. In fact, the Bible says, look, who is he among you that feareth the Lord, that yet sits in darkness and obeyeth the voice of the Lord? Let him stay upon his God. Stay upon the word that he told you before. Praise God. Stay on that word.
to the left. Don't go to the right. Stay with the word.
Hallelujah, somebody. No matter what it looks like right now, especially when God told you something, that's when all hell might break loose. When God said, let's go over to the other side, that's when all the tempests will come at you. Tempests will want to drown you just because he said, let's go to the other side. But you must remember the word that he said, let us go to the other side. He didn't say, let us go and perish on the sea. Let us go to the other side. If they would have remembered that word, hallelujah. If they would have remembered that word, they would not have been bothered. But Jesus knew the word that he spoke. Because the word of God will sustain itself. Once the word is spoken, it cannot return void. Hallelujah, somebody. So you must always remember what God already told you in the light. Praise God. Even in dark days. Even in dark days, you must remember what he already told you. Now, let me tell you also something about, you know, the trials of life. You know, he showed me this a while ago. It's like, you know, you're climbing some, you know, a staircase. And this staircase has many levels. You know, kind of like, you know, I don't know what they call it, landing level. Then there's another, you know what I'm saying? You climb about 13 steps, and there's a landing, and you climb a few more, then there's a landing. It, actually, in my house, we have something like that. You climb this way, there's a little landing, and you go this way, you know. So, when you're climbing these stairs, every stair that you're climbing, you know, is like a challenge. Hallelujah. Now, when you get to that landing, it's like a rest. And then you will be promoted. Hallelujah. But you must climb those stairs. But it is not finished yet. You must keep climbing. When you get to the first landing, there's still more. You find out, oh my goodness, you know, I'm here. And then you're glad and so forth. Then all of a sudden you look and there are still more stairs to climb. You know, if you sit down there and you don't climb, you know, then that's all you're going to get. But every step, every rung of that ladder that you're climbing, God is preparing you for something greater. Hallelujah. You're going higher all the time. Higher all the time. Higher all the time. But you must take that next step. And you're going higher. You must take the next step. And you're going higher. And then when you get to some place, he'll give you some rest. And then all of a sudden, you must move again. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. You must keep going. You must keep going. You must not stop. It's not over yet. You know, even though you have, you know, don't, you know, some people cannot sustain success. You say, I have a little success. You know, then all of a sudden, you think it's over. No. You know, they, look, some of you might be sitting in here today and thinking, you are, you know, everything's going good for me right now. I don't need this message. Yes, you do. Hallelujah. Because the Lord knows what is ahead. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Everything may be going good for you right now, but all of a sudden, that devil's going to chip shot you or do something and so forth like that one day and so forth, then you will remember, praise you in the name of the Lord, you know, that wow, you know, there are seasons for everything, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and all that, you know. So I'm mixing two messages in here this morning, you know. And let me remind you also that the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he will fight for you. Praise God. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Now, let me give you a promise here in the Bible concerning mountains and concerning valleys. No matter what mountain is in your way. You know, there's two ways that I've talked about mountains in this message. I've talked about mountains about the good things, you know, when you're on the high, and the valleys when you're on the hill. But I'm going to bring the mountain a different way right now. I'm going to talk about mountain when it is a roadblock. Something you have to climb. Hello? Now, Isaiah 40 and verse 5. Isaiah 40, let me start from verse 4. You know, and you're going to find out here that, look, whatever the mountain, whatever the valley, God's got it all in control. Of course, you have to give him control. Every valley shall be exalted. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places shall be made plain. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now that's a direct promise, point blank. You know. So, if your mountain is something that is an obstruction to you, that you can't climb, remember, God's going to bring it down. Amen. And if you are in the valley right now and so forth, remember, it's just a test and a trial and a training. You know, but you're going to get up on that mountain again. And you're going to shout and you're going to rejoice and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord, folks. Listen to this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Isaiah 55 verse 9. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give it food to the sower, and bread to the eater, and so forth. So shall my word be. The word of God will always sustain itself. So shall my word be that groweth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. The Bible says, it shall not return unto me void. That's what God said. But it will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And listen to what that word said in the next verse. This is the word of the Lord unto you all today. For ye shall go out with joy. And ye shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Can I get amen on that? And all the trees of the field shall celebrate you. They shall celebrate your success. They shall clap their hands for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. All the mountains and the hills, they shall break forth into singing before you. You got to know who you are. You are carrying the word of the Lord inside of you. Those mountains, they will break forth into singing. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In fact, I have not seen one mountain yet that can keep me from going to where I'm going. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be made a plain. Praise ye the name of Jesus. I don't care what the mountain or the valley or whatever is. I am going on with Jesus. Amen, somebody. So now that you know all these things, you know, what shall we do then? You know, well, let me remind you that the trials that you may face, if you aren't facing them now, you will certainly face them. The trials that you may face, they are designed to bring forth the beauty of the Lord in you. Amen? We already read that in 1 Peter, you know. But also listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me quickly read a couple of verses here, you know, to encourage us that, look, we have to suffer some things sometimes. But never mind the sufferings. Just look for the glory that is to be revealed. Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. You know, in this verse and the next one that I'm going to read, we're going to find out. Say, beloved, think it not strange concerning the very trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. You know, so when you are going through these things, you know, don't think that, you know, it's anything strange. You know, there, you know, there's, God is going to bring you out of it. Amen. Listen to it in chapter 5 of 1 Peter and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And some of you resemble that remark in here. You have gone through all kinds of things while you were believing God on your business or whatever it is, your enterprise and this and your that, believing God for something and so forth, but you stayed right there with God. Praise God. And you have become his crown and his glory. Amen. Every time you win a battle in the name of the Lord, that's one more crown for the Lord.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise God. You chuck up another W for the Lord. Jesus will never have an L. Amen. And Jesus never loses anything. Never loses a battle. In fact, I will never lose any one of his sheep. I will lose none of them. But I will raise them up on the last day. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I will lose none of them. He said that himself. That is a promise. You can take it to heaven. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I will lose none of them. Jesus never lost anything. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so here are some, you know, wonderful, wonderful promises. You know, your testings and your trials, they are meant to purify you. And then there will be coming a due season if you don't faint. In the book of Job, chapter 23, and verse 10, you know, Job, of course, you might know the story. He went through a lot of things, you know, and in one day, so many calamities came upon him all at once. You know, but listen to what he says. But he knoweth the way that I take. The Lord knows the way that you're taking. When the Lord has tried you, you will come forth as gold. This ought to be your testimony. He said, look, the Lord knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I will come forth as pure gold. Praise ye the name of the Lord. This is the promise of the Lord. Now, let me close with some promises for you here, you know, of, you know, how you're going to wait patiently for the due season. Because the due season is going on right now, which is the season of God's favor in your life. And you've got to stay with that favor. And then in due season, you will reap if you do not faint. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15. You know, when God made this promise to Abraham, God swore to him and said all these wonderful things and so forth. But listen to verse 15. So then, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There is always an enduring that goes with obtaining the promise of God. Amen? Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, this was Paul's, you know, encouragement and admonition to Timothy, his son in the faith. Thou therefore endure hardness. That means hardships and hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, don't give up just at the first little sign of trouble. Amen? Amen, people? Endure hardness. Endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then God is going to bless your heart. Listen to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy and verse 5. But thou should, you know, watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. Endure afflictions. And some people can't endure afflictions. You know, but Paul's encouraging Timothy here. He said, look, endure afflictions. Whatever it is, Jesus said in himself, in the world, he said, you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Because I have overcome the world for you. You know, you're always going to have tribulation, you know, in the world. This is, the world is designed that way. But we have to be of good cheer. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Don't worry about it. Some people worry themselves sick until they have ulcers. You know, ulcers and all these things come from too much worry. You know, people have been taken to emergency room because of stress and this and that. You know, don't worry about it. You know, God's going to take care of all things. Amen. One thing you should worry about is this. You know, I want you, this is the thing that you should worry about. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. This is what you should worry about. Don't worry about anything else, but you should worry about this one. You know, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? This is what you should worry about.
you know, not worry in a bad way, but this is what you should put your mind to doing. You know, what is good that the Lord requires of thee, but for you to fear the Lord, thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to walk humbly before the Lord all thy days. Praise ye the name of the Lord. This is what the Lord requires of thee. Says the same thing in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the last chapter. You know, say, let us hear the end of the whole matter. You know, what is it? You know, after all said and done, you know, what is it that God requires of us? You know, this is not for us to worry about tomorrow. You know, but here's what he requires of us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is what God requires of you. You walk humbly before the Lord. You fear the Lord. And you do all of these things and so forth. You love the Lord with all your heart. God will take care of business. Amen. Praise thee in the name of the Lord. In closing, let me summarize to you the three seasons. There is a season in which you must do and put forth your best effort. Amen? That's right. You know, don't hold anything back. No holds barred. You know? I mean, what are you waiting for? You're not going to get, you know, I mean, come on. You know, any time that is lost cannot be regained. You know, even though God said, well, I will restore and so forth, there's something he's talking about. There's a way that he can bring, you know, things back in your life and so forth. But you cannot, you know, since this service at 10 o'clock this morning, you cannot go back to 10 o'clock. It's gone. Praise God. All you have is now and tomorrow. And maybe even tomorrow, we don't know, you know. But you can't go back to yesterday. It's gone. You know, so what are you waiting for? Do all you can now. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Whatever your hand finds doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If you are in school, be the best that you can be. If you are on the job, be the best that you can be. Hallelujah. Let there be an excellent spirit upon you. It was on Daniel. He was the chief of all the wise men and so forth, and the governors and the princes and so forth. Excellent spirit was upon him. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So you must do. And then of course, you must believe in the favor of God. Our God shall bless us. And our God shall have mercy upon us. Surely the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You must believe that God said in due season. You know that, first of all, he says, the time to favor God's people has come. You must believe that. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And then you must patiently wait for his blessings. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Famous chapter here of all the things that Paul said we can go through from time to time. You know, he said, who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? None of these things can separate us. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more. Amen. You know, through him that loved us. Praise ye the name of the Lord. For I am persuaded. That is Paul's testimony. Is it your testimony? That you know that none of the things that you may go through that are negative from time to time can separate you from the love of God. Is that your testimony that you know that? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, that's when you are on the mountain, or death, when you are in the valley, or any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus. Now when you are on the mountaintop, you must praise the name of the Lord. You must worship, and you must give him the glory for your success. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Remember, O Israel, it is the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, that gives you the power to get wealth. So whatever you have attained in life, when you are on the mountaintop, you know, then you must give him the glory.
Praise you in the name of the Lord.
Because pride will cause you to quickly fall from that mountain if you don't give him the glory.
And when you are in the valley,
you must believe the Lord.
Hallelujah. Believe the Lord,
and so shall ye be established.
Believe also his prophets,
and so shall ye prosper.
You must believe the word that God already spoke to you.
But let me add this finally here. When you are in the mountaintop, sometimes also, you got to make preparation for that valley. Because you can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. In fact, the next mountain you have to climb is in front of you. And to get to the next mountain, you've got to come down to the valley to get to the next mountain. How many of you know that? You can't jump from one mountain to the other. You have to come down, and then you're going to climb the next mountain. You know, you got to make preparation. So I said this before, and let me drum it right now into everybody's ears. When God is blessing you and prospering you, put away for the rainy day. Hello, somebody. You say, oh, but I shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Well, not in that way, you know, because God already made provision for tomorrow. That's why you have the extra today.
Hallelujah.
The Bible is full of stories like that. Joseph, in Egypt, he told us all of that. You know, 7 years of plenty. They had more than they could handle. He had to build cities. He had to build storage houses. He had to build stuff and so forth. And if there hadn't been the word of knowledge and word of wisdom with somebody like Joseph, they would have wasted all that substance. And the whole of them would have perished. But he set it up. And then during the years of plenty, want that came after that. And I tell you what, the years of adversity will make you forget the goodness of the Lord sometimes, you know, because they will be so harsh. Praise God. You know, and I tell you something, the dust bowls are coming again for this nation. Or even for the world, if you want to put it that way, you know. Hey, you know, people have enjoyed the goodness of the Lord for many years in this nation. They've been in the breadbasket for many years, but you can see, you know, the handwriting is already on the wall. Praise God. But that's only for the people of this nation who are not in the kingdom of God. Amen. Because if you are in the kingdom of God, you are under kingdom rules. Praise you in the name of the Lord. I couldn't care less whether the economy was good or bad and so forth. My life is not tied to that. Praise you in the name of the Lord. In fact, there is a proverb that we say, you know, in a Nigerian proverb. He said, look, you know, I don't know how to say it, but even if you cook or try to make pound of yam in something that is this small, you know, somebody who is going to be filled is going to be filled. Praise God. So I don't care, you know, about that, because I know whom I have believed. Amen. Praise you in the name of the Lord. In fact, God sent me to tell you this today, and I'm going to tell you when you stand to your feet. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to give you this word from the Lord today. Praise God. The season of the dew of heaven is here for you. Praise God. If you believe that, you can shout hallelujah for it. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember that for some of them, the word that was spoken did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. So the word cannot profit you if it's not mixed with faith. I have prayed and I have stood in prayer for everyone in this church. And he showed me the dew of heaven. And the dew of heaven is falling on you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now you must continue to do your part. And in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Lift up your hands and let's believe the Lord together here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, saith the Lord, the dew of heaven, thus saith the Lord, fall on the children of God. Amen? That's right. You know, one time the Lord told Hezekiah to prophesy. I mean, not uh, you know, Ezekiel had it. Told Ezekiel to prophesy the Spirit of the Lord to come and the east wind to come and fall upon those dry bones. And that may seem strange to some of you, but we call forth the dew of heaven. Come forth and fall upon the children of God. I speak in the name of the Lord to the mountains and the hills. Break forth into singing before the children of God. And I speak in the name of the Lord. Let the trees of the field begin to celebrate and begin to clap their hands for the children of God. Can you say amen to that? Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. And for those of you that wait patiently for the Lord, behold, He will not fail you. Behold, I lay in Zion a sure foundation, a rock, and he that believeth on him shall never be put to shame. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your people that are in here this morning. The Lord bless every one of you. The Lord cause the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth to be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Only be strong and of a good courage. And set the Lord always before you. Look not to the left nor the right. And put no evil thing before you, say the Lord. For these things' sake came the wrath of God upon the children of Israel in their disobedience. Ye shall not be like them, saith the Lord. But hearken unto the voice of the Lord, sanctify him daily in your heart, and let him be your fear and your dread. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord shall not return void, but it will prosper in your lives. Now there is a due season that is just around the corner, and I didn't have time to preach it today. But you have to read that story for yourself in Exodus chapter 15. And they murmured unto the Lord. But just right around the corner, God had prepared, you know, oases, palm trees, and everything right around the corner. But they were murmuring the whole time, you know. Don't murmur against the Lord in your hard times. Because just around the corner, God has prepared something special for you. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I charge you by the word of the Lord here this morning. That which you have heard, take heed unto it. Believe the word of the Lord that he may be well with you. Amen. And be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And don't you ever give up because of any challenge or anything or any difficulty that you face. In fact, he that puts his hand into the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, so don't you quit on the Lord now. And don't you quit on me. And I want to tell you that the Lord has got your back. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be your rare reward. That means he's got your back. Praise God. And he's going to keep your past in your past. Amen. That's what the glory of the Lord does. Keep the past in the past and keep you moving forward. Now, I pray that the Lord will put a wall on your left and a wall on your right and a wall behind you so that the only way that you can go is forward in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't look back now. Remember Lot's wife. Do not look back, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Going forward. Have I not commanded you, saith the Lord? Be of a good courage. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise your name. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.